Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
High crotch, bring it back, single leg. Swing. Let me teach you how to wrestle. Okay. Let me teach you how to wrestle.
All right, we are back with Vito. Another great Wrestling Mindset interview. How's everything going, champ?
It's going good. It's going good. Training.
Awesome. Awesome. So talk about the upcoming EIWAs, right? That's the next thing we have. I always loved wrestling there. And, you know, you have some common opponents, people that you've wrestled before. Crookham, talk about your thoughts towards this, your mindset.
Yeah, of course. You know, definitely EIWAs, you know, obviously need to do well if I want to go to nationals. But yeah, you know, it's something that I'm familiar with, you know, senior year. So this is going to be my fourth EIWA, I'm no stranger to having some good competition at the tournament. You know, I've wrestled Glory multiple times in the finals, wrestled Cole Yoko last year, all pretty solid guys. We have Cole Yoko and Crookham are going to be probably the two heavy hitters in my weight. Go take it how I would any other tournament. My prep is the same. My, mental state the same. And just go out there and, do my best.
Exactly. And that's always the key to success. And then the things people always want to hear about, talk about your mindset going in, possibly going up against someone to avenge a loss. I know it's really treating it all the same, but talk about your thoughts towards all that. How you've developed over the course of the season, things like that.
Yeah, I think it's really easy to, I did this last year where, I lost to Latona, and then at the NCAA tournament, I got, all fired up. I wanted to, show everybody that was a fluke. I wanted to go out there and kind of just, run it off the scoreboard. And that led to, mistakes in my wrestling. That led me to be a little overzealous at times, and that led me, he got the first takedown and then I got a reversal, but then he got a reversal as well, just because I'm not focused on what I was doing, right? I was just doing, I was focused on achieving a certain score in the match. And that's something that isn't good for me. So when I focus on just wrestling, doing the best actions in the moment, just allowing myself to go through the process of, entering the zone and really getting in the competitor's mindset and just allowing the wrestling to happen. Because, I'm a highly trained athlete. I have very good muscle memory. These moves are well trained. So allowing myself to just wrestle is the best thing I can do. When, you get kind of caught in this tunnel of, I want to win by this much, or I want to go out and do this, then you're taking away mental energy from, the wrestling. So, you know, I hopefully I've learned my lesson, and you know, this time around, I'm just gonna go out there and, you know, wrestle the best match I can, and you know, I think that's the best way to go about putting points on the board.
Yeah, agreed completely. A lot of times you get caught up in trying to do either too much, or, like you said, just trying to prove something or right or wrong, but that's really just nonsense. It's extra stuff. It has no bearing at all on the wrestling in and of itself. Oh, great. And then how's your health? How are you feeling overall?
No, health is good. You know, I've been dealing with a little bit of a, you know, more injury this season than I would like. You know, I've been off the mat for a couple of duels, but, you know, we're gearing up. We're kind of peaking for this end of the season sprint. So, you know, I think my preparation is good. I think my mental is in a good place. You know, the physical just got to follow, and, you know, everything will work out.
That's right. What are some of the things you do now during this time of year? So between now and the IWAs, and then between then and the Nationals, that you're doing for yourself mentally and emotionally? Is there anything extra you're doing, or is there a certain plan that you follow just as a general rule? I know we saw it on the, a little bit about it on your biography on Flow, which was awesome, but talk about that a little bit. What's your normal mental routine like?
Yeah. So, you know, in the morning and the night, you know, when I wake up before I go to bed, I like to do a little bit of, you know, mental work. I like to just, imagine, you know, wrestling, imagine the feeling that I want to feel, you know, what it is that I want to happen. And then, you know, imagining things, you know, going absolutely perfect. You know, I'm going out and running up the scoreboard and just being a super dominant and, you know, exactly what I want. And then going back and doing it over, and this time it being super difficult, right? Just the hardest it possibly can be with me still succeeding. And really gearing myself up, preparing myself to, you know, go out there and be able to dominate, but also be prepared in case, you know, a tough fight is needed. I think that's important. And, you know, I go out and I do backwards progression. So I'll think about, you know, what's my next couple of goals, right? I have the EIWAs, I have the NCAAs, Olympic trials, and then, you know, hopefully the Olympics. So, you know, I start out by imagining that, you know, I've won the Olympics. And then from there, you know, go, you know, imagine that, you know, I've wrestled, you know, after, you know, imagining being on the podium and being in that first place spot, like imagine what the match of the Olympic finals is going to look like. And then I'll go back and, you know, imagine what the Olympic trials will look like. And then from there, NCAAs, you know, imagine myself winning, imagine myself wrestling the finals match, and then, you know, do all the way until the most recent thing. And I think that helps paint the picture of what it looks like to win. Cause I think a lot of people, and myself included, struggle with the idea of, like, you know, something that I struggled with when I was younger was just like allowing myself to win, you know, even if I'm not the best guy, even if I'm not, you know, necessarily like feeling my best, whatever it is, you know, you can't make excuses for yourself. Like, oh, like maybe I shouldn't win this. Like, no, you can, and you should if you try. Right. So I think allowing yourself to be, to open up to that idea of, you know, you can win. And you have to just like apply yourself, right? Everything's possible, right? Just as possible as, you know, I could lose. And that's very possible as well. But
the time is now to take your mindset to the next level with Wrestling Mindset. Make sure you go to our website, WrestlingMindset.com, and sign up for your free trial session today. Don't wait any longer. You want the mental edge right now. When you sign up for the free trial session, you're also going to get a copy of our free ebook, Building the Predator Mindset. This book has helped thousands of people build confidence, relax under pressure, get motivated, and build mental toughness in wrestling, school, and life. Make sure you sign up for your free trial session today.
painting that picture with my mental imagery of this road that I want to walk down, I think helps reinforce kind of everything that I'm doing.
Any reason you work backwards where you start with the Olympics versus starting now? Is it to put things into perspective? And what do you think?
Yeah, I definitely think it helps kind of put everything into perspective, right? There's some mental practices that I do with my my sports psych where it's like, you know, I'm 30 years old and I'm retired and, you know, I'm however good, you know, multiple time world champ, Olympic champ, and, you know, then look back at these matches that I won. You know, like imagine I was old and looking back. It helps you get a perspective like, oh, like, you know, sometimes we make such a large, like, end of the world type of thing out of a tournament when it's just, you know, one step along the path. You know, I'm going to do well, right? Because that's what I think, you know, I can do. But yeah, working backwards, I think, helps put it in perspective and kind of take out some of the unnecessary stress that I think we sometimes put on tournaments.
Oh, makes sense. Now talk about how did the Cornell practices change or remain the same going into the EIWAs and Nationals versus the rest of the year? Is there a change?
You know, I think we're really focused on sharpening our skills, right? We spent the whole season developing, like, you know, maybe the holes in certain areas, right? If there were certain things that got shown in matches, you know, we take the time to address those. I think that's, you know, we're done with the regular season now, so we're in the postseason. So there's less, you know, we're not going to have any more opportunities to, you know, see what we need to work on in real matches. So now it's just about focusing on what we have and what we're good at and still focusing on those areas that we need to improve on and just really heightening everything and preparing for that peak, so to speak, at the end of the season, you know, making sure that, you know, all the things are good, you know, our physical, our mental recovery, just getting everything that we need to be able to go out there and compete at our best.
Is there any extra emphasis on one aspect of the sport over the other around this time of year? Because I know most of the things probably remain pretty much the same, but is there more emphasis on recovery or mindset or less with the condition? I don't know. How does it – shorter practices, longer practices?
Well, I mean, we just got done with our last dual meet, right? So we were still, you know, just about 2 weeks out from EIWAs. So we had kind of a grinder, grit day, if you will. So we you know, really kind of dug deep and had some tough practices that would, you know, not just test us physically but mentally, right? Do you want to can you stay in the fight, right? And I think that's important.
Yeah, what do you do for a grit day? That sounds awesome. What do you do for a grit day? Lean into that a little bit.
You know, starters will be on the mat and basically just run some shark bait. So, you know, you get four guys and they will rotate in and you'll stay in for, you know, however many goes.
How long?
Is
it like a 1 minute period with each guy? 30 seconds, 10 seconds?
Yeah, like minutes with each guy. So probably 15-ish minutes total.
That is freaking hard. Just for anyone who's never done that before, have a Division I wrestler who's really, really good and they're fresh, and then you wrestle 1 minute with one guy, then 1 minute with another guy, and then you do, I guess, top each guy and then bottom each guy. Is that what you do? That's what we did. No?
Neutral.
Neutral the whole time. That is friggin' hard.
Yeah, so, you know, as you can imagine, you're getting tired and competition's staying fresh, and it is, you know, even if you're much better than the other guys, it can, once you get to go, you know, 4 or 5, minute five, you're going to start feeling it. And, you know, at that point, it's, you know, by minute 6, minute 7, it's not about wrestling anymore. It's about, can you, you know, stay standing, you know, and that's, where the mental game starts. Because there's going to be times, you know, realistically in matches, your opponents are going to be probably just as tired as you are. But what are you going to do when you're tired? Are you still able to keep going, right? Can you dig? Can you really, like, get that extra mileage out of yourself, right? So, you know, there's times where matches depend on that. And if you haven't ever felt that, and the first time you're feeling that is the NCAA tournament, then you're probably going to be in a little bit of trouble, you know? So I think that's a good thing that we do that and really just, you know, put it on display. Like, this is real, you know, this is what you're going to feel. This is what you're going to have to feel if you want to, you know, really, really achieve your goals. So I think that's good. I think, you know, we definitely do, we work with obviously our sports psych for Cornell, and we do a lot of mental imagery and really focus on, you know, just what we can to prepare to do our best out there, you know, get ready for that peak.
Will he take you guys through like a visualization sequence as a team, or is it more of a talk, or writing things down? What is it?
Yeah, so we do, you know, his name's Dr. Greg Shelley. So he works us through some exercises. So it's a little bit of talking, a little bit of writing, a little bit of, you know, mental work, kind of, you know, all around. We do it as a team, so it's you know, kind of generalized, but it's all really good stuff.
Excellent. Now, how many of those grinder days do you have? Is that's just like, is it a one-time thing just for that mental toughness, or you do it once a week? Because I know it's real tough. People think like, oh, you're good for the first 7 or 8 minutes. No, after 3 or 4 minutes, you're pretty darn shot, and now you're in survival mode.
Yeah, no, we only really hit one of those, you know, because we're 2 weeks out. You know, it's okay to really kind of put yourself in a pretty bad spot. But then again, we, you know, we're focused on recovery. We're focused on being the best of us, right? So we don't want to do that, you know, days away from the tournament. So,
right.
You know, so
exactly. What are the coaches? Go ahead.
Yeah. So we just hit, you know, we wrestled Sunday. We had a day off on Monday, wrestled hard Tuesday, Wednesday. And now we have off again on Thursday.
When you're in deep waters like that, what do the coaches say you should be thinking? And you know, you with your natural instincts, what are you thinking that you should be thinking or want to be thinking? You get to that 5 minutes, 6 minutes in, and you still have more to go of this. Is it continue to attack? Is it hold my own? Is it catch my breath a little bit and then sneak one in on the guy? What should a guy be thinking in those grinders?
You know, personally, I'm not really thinking out there. So whatever, you know, I'm just falling back and making sure that I'm, you know, for me, it's about keeping my mind still sharp, right? You know, you get so tired, you get like that fog, you get like fuzzy, and, you know, maybe you lose focus and you're like kind of all over the place. For me, it's about just like being able to keep focused on something, right? Because I know that, you know, my body will keep up, you know, even if it's like, you know, lagging behind, I'll still kind of find a way to wrestle through the position. You know, I think if you get like really, really tired and you start, it's really easy to start focusing on like, okay, keep moving your feet. And then you only focus on moving your feet, right? And then you forget other aspects. So I think it's really hard to tunnel in on certain things or like think of certain strategies, especially when you're tired. I think you just got to practice going in, getting super tired, and continuing to do the things that you were doing when you were fresh, you know?
Yeah. And like I said, there's really just a trust that your body can do it. Like you said, you kind of said it before. I think that's big. Talk about your weight. How's your weight right now? What do you normally walk around weighing? And then the descent after the NCAAs. I mean, guys have done this before. They've won an NCAA championship and then go out and then win the Worlds or win the Olympics. You know, of course, then there's a lot of people who say, oh, this is a difficult move. You're breaking your body down the whole season and other guys are fresh. Well, to start with the weight. What's your weight normally like, and how do you get your weight down then for right after the NCAAs?
Yeah, you know, I've been slowly working at it, because you know it's not going to be, because especially you know wrestling 33, it's going to be, you know, definitely a little bit of an extra burden to get down to 25, right? So I'm working ahead of the clock, right? So I'm not going to wait until the week before to drop all the way down to 25. You know, I've been kind of chipping at it, chipping away at it little by little. Currently weighed like, you know, around like 140-ish. So that's you know, a pretty easy cut to get to 33. And then slowly but surely work my way down to around like 35, just through dieting, exercise, you know, certain exercises that focus on you know, burning fat as opposed to losing water, you know, cardio, things like that. And then just once I get into shooting range, then, you know, just pull out the water weight. And, you know, I have faith in my nutritional staff of Frank Pirelli and training lab, and you know, I'm sure that they will do a great job of making me feel good while I'm down the weight.
Yeah, I mean, do you feel like you've been shrinking your body throughout the season? And how has that helped? Do you see that as an advantage, disadvantage for first, obviously for the Olympics, yes. So for the NCAAs, how do you feel like that helps you or hurts you just mentally, physically, emotionally for just competing NCAAs, shrinking your body throughout the season?
You know, I haven't really done like a whole lot of shrinking. You know, I'm only walking around, you know, 43, 44. So coming down to 40 and then trying to get down to 37, 35, isn't like a whole, you know, lot. So I'm not necessarily like, I wouldn't say I'm sucked out, you know. And even, you know, trying to get down to like 35, 37 for NCAAs, you know, isn't necessarily a bad thing if I can still compete and perform the way that I do, not, you know, lose any steam, then, you know, there's really no downside.
Right. Absolutely. And then I know that's a little ways away, but not that far of a ways away, the Olympic trials. Talk about your thoughts towards that. I mean, I know it's in one sense it's just another tournament, in another sense it's not. What's your mental approach for that?
Yeah, you know, it's definitely, you know, pretty important tournament. It's gonna decide whether or not I go to the Olympics, which is, you know, been a dream of mine for a really long time. So definitely pretty high stakes, right? And because of that, I really have to focus in on, you know, my preparation and really lock in for it. You know, most people only get a couple chances at it. You know, so I think I have, you know, this one, next one in 2028, and you know, possibly 2032, but you know, nothing's guaranteed. So this, you know, we got to make the most of every situation. So I'm really excited. I'm really prepared. You know, sitting in the semifinals because of my placing at Worlds last year. So we got one match the first day, and then two matches the second day, and you know, then we're on the Olympic team.
Right, exactly. It's like you don't want to make too much of it because there is time, but at the same time you never know. So you want to always say, hey, the time is now to win. It's time to win. It's not, that my time is in the future. This is the time. Talk about how wrestling an NCAA season, having the practices, how that puts you in a better spot, more prepared physically, mentally, emotionally to wrestle in the Olympic trials when other guys haven't been doing that. How is that your advantage that you've wrestled a college season?
Yeah, I think the one flaw with you know the freestyle season is that the tournaments are, you know, spaced out pretty far, right? It's pretty hard to get like a you know to get multiple matches. You got to travel to, you know, different countries sometimes, like, you know, often you got to like, you know, do a lot to kind of to get to these tournaments. You know, I'm wrestling, and granted, I didn't wrestle a whole lot this season because of, you know, recent injuries. But you know, I think the constant, you know, getting out there and competing really helps refine kind of your competition sense and you know, your competitive mindset, right? I'm constantly getting feedback. You know, what I'm doing is working, what I'm doing is bad. And you know, I can make those adjustments. You know, I think competing, and you know, maybe for some people the season is a little too much competing, constantly every single weekend. But you know, I think it is good. It'll be beneficial for me, because I did get those goes out there, and I did get to, you know, experience, you know, some matches before I go out to Olympic trials.
Excellent. All right, let's do some fun ones. Who are your favorite wrestlers to watch as a kid?
I didn't really watch too much wrestling as a kid, I'm not gonna lie. But
even locally, you know, so, it could have been anyone.
I saw, you know, Nashon, Nico Megalutis. I saw, you know, Ramos. I would watch little guys because, you know, they're, you know, similar to me at least. You know, if we try to look up, as you know, as a club, we try to look up old videos of my dad and stuff, you know, but yeah.
Okay. If you could time travel, now as a world champion, if you could time travel and wrestle any other world champion at the weight you wanted at, who would it be?
Good question.
Or a few people, or just some first instincts.
I mean, probably the obvious answer is I'd like to see how good my dad was in his prime. You know, when he was winning world championships, I'd like to.
No, do a different guy. Do a different guy. That was my next question. Someone other than your dad.
you know, Arsen Fedzayev, really good Russian wrestler. Some would say, you know, one of the best ever in history. Yeah. Like to get a crack at him, see, you know, where I kind of stack up. Another interesting one would be like, you know, like go like way, way back, like, yeah, like Achilles, like ancient Rome, and see like how my skills would differ from, like, you know, like I've mastered these skills, but he's grown up in like a warring environment. How different would that be? You know,
you'd have to go to Greece to get Achilles. Maybe you'd have to wrestle Maximus in Rome. And then you tear these guys up and you're like, yeah, that really wasn't that fun. That guy didn't know what he was doing. All right. You and your dad on your best day in your prime, when you, if assuming you guys were the same weight, what do you think? What would be your keys to beat him? What would it be his keys to beat you?
See, I'd be a little scared around something like that, cause he was mean, you know. It was a different time. They didn't have all the cameras around the circle, you know? So it was just the one rep. I don't know. He can be a little mean guy. So I'd probably just, you know, focus on, you know, my drags, my singles. But, you know, he is strong, stayed in good position. He'd be tough. You know, I could see my dad. He was actually pretty big on throws. Something that he didn't necessarily teach down to me. But I could see myself getting thrown.
But are you going to come out on top? That's what we want to know. You might get thrown, but are you getting back up? Is he going to pin you from a throw?
I don't know. I couldn't say for sure. He is 2-time world champ, 3rd at the Olympics. But I'm just starting out. So right now, you know, I'd maybe give it to my dad, but give me a couple of years and we'll see if I can't top him.
I saw one of his interviews on Flow, him saying that that in Russia, if you win it once, they call you ex-world champion. You got to win it multiple times in order to be when they announce you. Does he mess with you and say that to you, like ex-world champion?
No. I think he's just he's happy with my accomplishments.
Oh yeah. I wore the shirt. My sons love the shirt where it says genetics on there. And it's funny because my wife got her doctorate at Columbia in genetics. So I wear the genetics one, and my boys love the big the bear on the back breaking through. So your dad's club. All right, when was the first age you were able to score on your dad? When was the do you remember the first time you ever scored on him?
Yeah, probably sometime in high school. Probably, like, you know, I had to get a little bit bigger than him first, you know, but, you know, I think probably around like sophomore year, but like, you know, I was by my sophomore year, I was, you know, 2-time state champ, probably ranked in the country at the time. And, you know, my dad's in his, at that time, probably like early 40s. So he's kind of getting on, you know, so he's declining. I'm coming up, but I can probably sneak like one takedown. But then like, you know, he didn't really like that too much. So he would get up and continue to, you know, show us that we're not as good as him. So in a light way, yeah, he would take us down many times after that, if anyone scored on him.
All right, if you could change one thing about wrestling, or maybe it, you know, it doesn't have to be one thing. If there was a rule change or something you'd like to see different about wrestling, what would it be?
You know, I think one thing that I'd like to see change in wrestling would be just like the U.S.'s focus on, and I'm not saying we have to change the freestyle, but just like put a little more respect on it, put a little more emphasis on it, because you know we see, you know, the NCAA tournament, and it is a large production. Don't get me wrong, you see just so many fans, absolutely packing out stadiums, right? And then you know you'll go to some very high level freestyle tournaments where, you know, the competitors are just, you know, some of the best in the world. Maybe we don't get the same, you know, support for those tournaments. So I mean, and this isn't necessarily something like a rule change, something that could be done overnight, but, you know, I'd love to see in the next couple of years, like a shift and more emphasis and love for freestyle. You know, selfishly, of course, because I love freestyle, but yeah, I think that would be something that I'd like to see.
Makes sense. All right, one last question. If you could add one new move to your arsenal, what move that you don't normally do, what would it be?
Oh, good question. I can
or any I'd or like, to get, like some position. Yeah. What was
I'd like to get like a good throw. I don't really have a like learned throw. I kind of just do it off instinct. Like I have body, I grab, I just chuck over my shoulder, but I'm not exactly well practiced in any throw. I think like getting really good at like an arm throw or an arm spin would be like pretty cool, but I'm not good at it. You know, I'm just not, or even just like a wizard kick, you know, something like that. Some more like maybe I got to go train some judo or something, but like, you know, something like that I think would be cool to add to my arsenal. Yeah.
Awesome. Thanks, Vito. I wanted to throw in some fun questions at the end there too. Keep up the great work. You're saying the right things, having the right mindset, one thing at a time, putting time in on the mental, emotional side of the sport. That's key. So thanks for everything. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Gene. Thanks for having me.
Take care.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about United Healthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.